If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. FedGov Today. I welcome Francis Rose, the host of FedGov Today, the podcast FedGov Today, premiering April 30th, Channel 7 in Washington, as the video TV show FedGov Today. Francis has conversations with people who help the government, people who have left the government, people who are in the government, and people who serve the people of the United States. And I go to a recent interview on his site with the Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Linda Fagan. The Coast Guard, according to the Admiral, is not your father's Coast Guard. So, Francis, three parts of this excellent interview you had in a roaring excitement behind you. What is the Sea Air Space 2023? What was going on around you, Francis?
Thank you for having me on the program, John. A lot going on around at Sea Air Space. So the Navy League of the United States hosts Sea Air Space in National Harbor, Maryland, right outside of D.C. every year. And it's just an enormous gathering of the sea services, the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and the Merchant Marines, and the contractors, vendors that serve them. And they were kind enough this year to let me kick it off with Commandant Fagan of the Coast Guard, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General David Berger, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Michael Gilday, and the Administrator of the Maritime Administration, retired Rear Admiral Ann Phillips. And that's called the Chiefs Panel. We start the Sea Air Space every year with the Chiefs Panel. And the conversations that go on there revolve around pretty much everything that you can think of that the sea services need. So I talk to you a lot about IT and acquisition and personnel and budget management. But on the show floor that you're referring to with all the hubbub around it, weapon systems on display, there are big guns and vehicles and all kinds of stuff. There was a helicopter on the floor, just all kinds of stuff
now
that you wouldn't believe.
Now I understand the enthusiasm. I was wondering, it was like a sports contest. All right, let's go to the Coast Guard. U.S. Coast Guard, not your father's Coast Guard. Recruiting. The Admiral emphasized that recruiting is critical to the success of the Coast Guard in the 21st century. 9 new recruiting stations, an ROTC program. What kind of talent is she seeing, and where? Where do they get the talent?
Well, she sees it, she told me, all over the place. And she told a story on stage about going to a recruiting station where some new guardsmen and women were being sworn in. And she was very taken by the fact that they all were very enthusiastic about being able to serve their countries. They understood the mission of the Coast Guard. They had been inducted very well into the culture of the Coast Guard and not just sworn in and told to go do jobs. But she referred to where they are as a race for talent, and they're competing with the other military services. They're competing with the private sector, and they're trying to find young men and women who want to serve their countries. And quite frankly, she didn't say it to me, but the other services have talked about it, and the Coast Guard's up against the same thing, I imagine. And that is fewer and fewer young people are qualified, especially physically, to be able to get into the military in the first place. So that just adds an extra wrinkle to the jobs that the Coast Guard and the other military services are doing to try to attract new talent, John.
Recruiting is one side. Retention is the other. What are they doing to retain talent once they've trained it?
Well, one of the things that they're working on and all of the services are working on is trying to make it easier, not just for their civilian people, but for their uniformed people to transition in and out or to serve in reserve capacities. And that has proven to have to some success where someone has an affinity for the service that they're in, wants to do something else with their careers, but wants to continue service in a reserve capacity. So they're looking at basically anything they can think of that would provide incentive for folks to stay in the service or stay attached to the service. But also they're looking at ways to make it easier for folks to come back the same way the civilian parts of the federal government are looking at ways to, if somebody wants to work in an agency for a number of years and then transition out, go to work in the private sector and come back. That's been difficult historically in the civilian side and almost impossible in the military side, the uniform side, but they're working on, they're trying to figure out ways to approach all of these problems and not limiting their options to what they've always done. I'm using air quotes around that because what they've always done is not meeting the demands that the services have in 2023 and beyond.
The Admiral mentions the Arctic Forum. It emphasizes this as a global Coast Guard. How so, Francis? How does it meet the needs of allies?
Well, I think there's a perception, and the Admiral expressed this, and I think she's correct. There's a perception that people think the Coast Guard, people, first of all, she said on stage, there's a lot of people who don't know the Coast Guard exists. And so that's issue one. Issue two is the people who know that it exists maybe don't understand the fullness of the mission. And the fullness of the mission is not that the Coast Guard is just on waterways inside the United States and around the borders of the United States. Coast Guard is a global Coast Guard. It has a presence in the Arctic. It has a presence in the South Pacific. Admiral Fagan was commander of the Coast Guard's Pacific area before she became vice commandant and then commandant. So she has an in-depth, intimate knowledge of the South China Sea and the challenges there. But our Coast Guard interacts with Coast Guards around the world because it's regarded by other countries as the gold standard. And so other countries call on our Coast Guard to basically come and teach them how to do it and how to perform a lot of the missions that the Coast Guard performs here on fisheries and drug interdiction and all those kinds. There's a tremendous law enforcement mission that the Coast Guard plays in addition to participating in military exercises. The biggest military exercise, RIMPAC, featured 20-some allies from around the world, and not just the Navy and Marine Corps presence, but a Coast Guard presence too. So they talk a lot about the integrated sea services, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. And I think that's one of the things that she has tried to do. That's one of the things that her predecessor, Admiral Carl Schultz, the former commandant, and the commandant before him, Admiral Zukoft, have all been very outspoken and tried to be very eloquent about the fact that they are an integrated member of the United States military sea services.
Ships. We're short ships in the U.S. Navy. We want 355, 400. The Admiral spoke of shipbuilding. We haven't got the yards. Do we have the people? The Admiral was positive, but Francis, we're way behind.
Yeah, there's a problem with capacity in both of the things that you talked about. There are 7 shipyards around the country, not nearly enough to build all the ships that the Navy says it needs. Even if Congress funded all of the ships that the Navy and Coast Guard need, there wouldn't be a place to build them right away. In addition to that, then, because the shipyards have shrunk, the workforce that the shipyards would be able to reach out to hire, that's also shrunk. Those people have gone on to other things, and there's not really a farm team to develop the next generation of shipbuilders. So the shipbuilding capacity is something that was a really, really big topic of conversation, not just by the Admiral to me, but by all of the Sea Service leaders that were at this event, this Sea Air Space event. They were all talking about it, what needs to happen, what should happen, what could possibly happen in order for that to be the case. Because the reality of it is Russia and China, the nations against which we're competing in strategic competition, according to the National Defense Strategy, all have not just subsidized shipbuilding capacity. The government owns it all and operates it all and staffs it all. And obviously that structure is not going to work in the United States, but that's what we're up against. And so figuring out a way to compete with that within the construct that we've decided to set up constitutionally is a huge, huge challenge in the 21st century.
FedGov today at the Sea Air Space 2023 celebration. Good heavens, celebrate. You can hear it when you listen to Francis's podcast. FedGov today is the podcast twice a week. And the FedGov Today TV show premiering on 4/30/23. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.